Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 262 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Natalie Hora. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie.
Today we will be discussing part one of chapter 21 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, the Unknowable Room. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to sploot your way through the details.
I love a good sploot.
I hope everybody knows what sploot means. It's what a dog does
Phil
when their legs go out.
Sploot.
Sometimes I like to call them frogs, frog legs. Sploot. Okay.
Cats can do it too.
Cats sploot too. Okay. Anyways, Megan.
Yes.
Tell me about your weekly profit news.
I'm excited because we have been waiting to find out if we were going to get to be involved with LeakyCon Denver, and we have been confirmed for some panels. So Katie and I will for sure 100,000% be attending LeakyCon Denver.
Will not with those same percentages.
I know. I tried, guys. I was like, Tiff, are you sure? Do you want to come?
Are you sure? What's going on? You know, small baby.
Sorry. So we have been confirmed for, we're going to be doing a Swish and Flick Live, which will be a chapter episode, which is going to be a challenge because it has to be an hour. So we're going to do our best. We'll probably take out some parts of the episode. But anyway, doing a Swish and Flick Live, I believe that is on Friday evening.
So Friday, it's a new
day. It's on
day.
Friday. We are also doing podcaster trivia battle with Fanatical Fix and Potterless. I'm really excited about this one. Sequoia and Kim from Fanatical Fix like pitched this to me if we like wanted to join them on it. And it's basically like Harry Potter trivia, and it's like the podcasts against each other to see what podcast is best at Harry Potter trivia. Cause like it's kind of a joke that like we can podcast about the series, but we can't.
Listen, there's something different about trivia. It's
yes,
like the panicky. You have to answer.
I know.
Everything like leaves your brain.
Yeah, true. That's what happened when I was interviewing for that show. She was like asking me questions, and I was like, I would have to like pause a second and then I would answer. I got a lot of them right, but I was like, geez, this is a lot of pressure.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing that. I believe that one is on Friday morning. The schedule is out though. So if you were to go on to LeakyCon's website, you can check out the schedule. And then lastly, I'm super excited about this one. We're doing a panel called Mental Health in the Wizarding World, and we're going to be joined by Vanessa, who joined us on an episode like a year and a half, almost two years ago now.
It was like forever ago.
Yeah, we did like four episodes. So wish us luck that we can talk about this in an hour.
You can't. You're going to have to like to be continued at the end of this. You're going to be like, listen, you're going to have to go on the podcast. You're going to finish this out later.
Yeah, no, totally. And that one is on Sunday morning. So Katie and I will be attending on Saturday, though. There's lots of stuff that we want to go and see. And hang out and all that jazz. So we are also, what?
Say it right.
And all that jazz.
Thank you.
We also will be planning a Denver meetup.
Okay, can you give me Bronco stuff? I'm going to cry legitimately.
So I'm really excited because Katie and I are flying in late Wednesday evening. And then we have all day Thursday to just like see Denver because we've never been to Colorado, period.
It's so, so pretty. I can't wait for you to see the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, I'm super excited. We're actually going to go hiking on Thursday morning. So
where are you going?
Kenosha Pass. Okay. It's like a 90-minute drive outside of Denver, but it's supposed to be one of the best places to go and see fall colors in Denver.
You're going to get so many good pictures.
Yeah, I'm like, I might cry because I...
Well, I'm crying now.
Because I miss fall colors so much, but I'm super excited because we're going to be up in Ohio this weekend. We're going to be in Chicago next weekend, and then we'll get Denver.
I didn't know you were going to Chicago.
Yeah, it's... We are going to be staying with the Brookharts, yes, but when Sarah and I were in the Disney College program, our friend Tim, who worked with us, he's getting married, basically, and he also lives in Chicago. So Katie and I are ushers. I'm super excited. Aww. And yeah, we're staying with Sarah and Peter, and we're all going to the wedding on Saturday, but it's like super short. Like, we get in Friday and we leave Sunday morning. But
wow,
I'm still excited. So, but anyway, LeakyCon, super excited. I can't wait to see everybody. Let us know if you're going to be there, and we will plan a meetup, though it will probably be similar to the Orlando one, where it will happen like
in the con,
like at the con on Saturday. Yeah,
that's a good idea. It's unless just easier.
Just there's just so much that goes on at the con that, like, I can't imagine us having time to like plan something outside of it. Like, even if it was gonna be, it would be early in the morning and
too tired.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we're already gonna have to like be getting up early. Saturday's gonna be such a long day because that's the Esther Earle ball, and I love that ball so much. So, like, anyway, so. Yeah. So anyway, I hope that everybody who is there comes and says hi to us, and I hope that you enjoy our panels. I'm super excited. I'm also really anxious because Katie and I are taking this on, but we're going to be fine.
You're going to be fine. It's going to be great.
There's something about like hearing your voice echo throughout the room that is so unsettling.
What are you talking about?
Like, when I'm in here, I don't hear my own voice. Like, I can just talk. Yeah, I'm just having conversations. Like,
Wizardly World of Kent.
There's like the back, the feedback. I don't like that.
I know. It's going to be okay.
No, you guys will be
fine. And I really
fine.
Hope, I cannot wait for them to announce LeakyCon 2023. And
ooh,
that one,
that's weird to hear that year.
I know, isn't it? That one we are all gonna be at.
Why don't we have flying cars yet? I just want to know. I drew those in school when we talked about the future. Where are they?
The Jetsons said that they should be here by now, right?
Yeah. Yep. And people are like, who are the Jetsons? In that case, turn off this pod. No, I'm just kidding. I love you. But go watch some Jetsons.
Oh my gosh. So yeah.
Boy.
I'm excited. Right. It's happening. We will be in Denver. I'm very excited.
Yes.
And also, last thing about Denver is we will be having a booth again with a bunch of other podcasts called Wizarding Wireless Podcast Collective. We will probably be picking up a shift, I'm sure, for the booth, but we'll have like stickers and merch and stuff added again. I also designed a banner for it. I'm super excited to have that for like future events and stuff like that, because this was such an awesome like networking opportunity to like get to know other podcasts and whatnot. So
yeah,
and we'll be there. There'll be merch from a bunch of other podcasts as well as ours, so you should go and check it out, and you might find another Potter podcast that is awesome besides us. Like, there's seriously so many and like so many different topics and whatnot. So like, we're gonna have brochures so that you can get little descriptions of all the different podcasts that are part of the collective. And yeah, so
that's something that I really like about the Potter podcasting like scene is like, we all connect with one another, and we're all, it's like a big family. Like, I don't feel like I'm like Swish competes with them, because we don't. I mean, the more the merrier. We love our Potter fandom.
Yes, absolutely. So that is all for Weekly Profit. But make sure that you follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because I am telling you, word of mouth is how it spreads. We would love for you to just tell a a friend about us.
Yes.
And that would mean everything to us. So,
yeah. Even if you just text somebody right now, pick up your phone right now, text somebody, be like, yo, I know you like Harry Potter. Listen to this podcast. Go on your social media. Be like, hey, listen to this podcast. Because the more we grow, hopefully the more content we can bring you. That is the main goal in my life. And yes. Megan's too.
And Katie's.
And Katie's.
We what just... the heck am I?
I don't know. Chop liver. I thought you liked your other thing.
Wait, what other thing?
Your other job.
Your job.
I mean, I like it, but it's like a 9-to-5 job, you know? Like, yeah, I only like that so much.
Totally. I would love to just content create. Like, that would be... Mm-hmm. That's the dream. That's the dream, folks. So as big as we grow, the more that you get, and the I feel like it would get better. I'm excited.
Tell your friends, tell your family.
Also, if you haven't already, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are truly working on coming up with new things to bring to the YouTube channel, whether that is video podcasts or more vlogs of like travel / just like stuff at the Wizarding World, et cetera, et cetera. So
yes, more YouTube.
Yeah. So make sure that you go over and subscribe to our channel. And if you don't already as well, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. We are really trying to expand the types of content that we put out. So follow us there to see some of the new ideas that we have been brainstorming come to fruition. So.
Yep. Yep.
Also, if you would like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast because truly your support is what keeps us going and keeps us growing and keeps us moving forward. So on top of helping us out in that way, you also get access to a bunch of things, including our Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, which literally gives me life. Our live recordings, which are so much fun, our trivia games that happen 4 times a year, our Swish swag boxes, and more. So thank you all so much for your support, our current patrons. Like, you guys rock. And as always, we are accepting Potter stories to our email, as well as any fun things, questions, or concerns. And our email is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Well done.
Good job.
I don't have an idea. It came up really fast.
What do I do?
Classic. Good classic.
Oh, it's the recap.
What's that?
What's that from?
I just made it up.
Nice. Oh. Sound like a nice little jingle.
Recap. Okay, go ahead.
Oh my god.
Tiffany's new default. The moldy laugh. It's just so much fun to do.
Speaking of awkward laughs from this man, is that what you call him?
Being? Who? Lord V?
Yeah.
He's a snake person.
Yeah. We kind of recapped the mysterious life of Voldemort like early on. No one saw him for like 10 years. Comes back to Hogwarts. Asks for the Defense Against the Dark Arts position again. Dude's looking real creepy. Dumbledore obviously won't hire him. And he knows how to push Voldemort's buttons. And there's some really questionable dead naming. Not yay. Give me a summary.
All right.
Harry, where are we going?
What?
Where are we going? What are we talking about?
Harry needs to get that dang memory. But he just keeps thinking about good old Mr. Prince. And hoping that he's gonna give him the ways into Horace Slughorn's mind to, you know, make him give that memory up. He does discover Sectum Sempra, and then Ron's spellcheck wand begins losing its power. And he admits to Harry that he wants to break up with Lavender. And then we get a visit from Creature and Dobby. What is Master Malfoy been up to? It's all Marietta's fault. Basically, is what we learn in this little 1/3 of the chapter.
I can't wait to get to whatever that meant.
Oh gosh. Okay, let's go.
Oh, Marietta.
So Harry is now even more on a mission to get the memory from Slughorn after being guilt tripped by Dumbledore, and he's going over, like, how do I get him to hand over this memory that is true about Voldemort's past? Nothing's coming to him. So he's reading his potions book, and he's hoping that something's going to pop out at him. Maybe the prince has something that could help him out along the way. And Hermione's like, you're not going to be finding anything in there to help persuade Slughorn. And she's right. So basically, Harry is supposed to just be Harry. And that's the extra oomph that is needed to get the memory from Slughorn. It's Harry himself just being who he is, not a spell or a potion. And I think that's what the Felix does for him. Just kind of makes him a little more Harry.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good message.
Just Harry.
Just Harry. Just Harry. And he's all like, don't start. He's like, the prince is fine and he helped me save Ron. And as he's still reading through, and also that's not what Hermione really like meant. She wasn't exactly like dogging on the prince in that moment. She's just saying like, you just had to be you to get this because of your history and who you are and how Slughorn treats people who he thinks he can benefit from. Sorry, I'm not sorry for all you Slughorn lovers out there. Like, I don't hate Slughorn and I don't dislike Slughorn, but he does use people to get ahead. True. And so we come across everybody's favorite incantation. Quote, he had just found an incantation, Sectum Sempra, scrawled in a margin above the intriguing words, for enemies, and was itching to try it out, but thought it best not to in front of Hermione. Instead, he surreptitiously folded down the corner of the page. First of all, how dare you bend pages?
Harry is that kind of monster.
That is, I don't like that. Secondly, mm-hmm. Can you imagine if he tried this like on Ron as a joke, not thinking like of the severity of the incantation that it could possibly have? Like, is he saying like, they don't know.
Because he tried
the
other one on Ron, right?
Right. Yeah. So he thinks that a lot of these spells, incantations, charms, whatever, are kind of for a laugh. Mm-hmm. And this one is not, but he doesn't know that. He doesn't know what the prince knows, you know? Mm-hmm.
If he had, Ron might as well just move into the hospital wing at this point.
Truly.
Honestly. And so they're sitting beside the common room fire with the other sixth years, and there's some excitement in the air. There was a notice on the board with the date of the first apparition test, and it would be the 21st of April, and they had the option of signing up for extra practice sessions in Hogsmeade. And Ron is panicking after reading this. He's still unable to apparate, and Hermione had already done it twice. Harry had done it once, but he's not able to take the test yet because he would not be 17 for another 4 months. And when Harry apparated, it was like just inside one of those little hoops.
Go, Harry.
And so Ron had wasted a bunch of time, worried aloud about the test, and now he's struggling to finish this difficult essay that Snape set for them. And obviously, Hermione has already finished it. Harry legit doesn't care. He fully expects to get low marks on this because he disagrees with Snape on the best way to tackle Dementors. But, you know, he's just going to turn in what he already has. And he's not going to, like, not be himself about it. He's going to write this, disagree, and get a failing grade for it. He does not care.
Harry would know, man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That's definitely something I would do.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like, stay on your ground.
I, on the other hand, would just schmooze my way through to get the grade. And the wording on this makes me laugh because the author writes, tackling Dementors, and I know what it means, but all I can see in my brain as I read this is like Harry like tackling a Dementor in like a football kind of way. Brings me a little bit of joy. Hermione's really annoyed that Harry is looking for the answer in the potions book, like I said before. And she goes, quote, "There's only one way to force someone to do what you want, and that's the Imperius Curse, which is illegal." "Yeah, I know that. Thanks," said Harry, not looking up from the book. "That's why I'm looking for something different. Dumbledore says Veritaserum won't do it, but there might be something else, a potion or a spell." "You're going about it the wrong way," said Hermione. "Only you can get the memory," Dumbledore says. "That must mean you can persuade Slughorn where other people can't. It's not a question of slipping him a potion. Anyone could do that." Yes.
Okay. This is incredibly controversial, I think. But I would think with like the stakes, like with what's at stake right now, like, is it really that bad to use Imperio? I mean, could you get a memory using Imperio?
Sounds like you've got a Dumbledore mentality over there.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying it's like for the greater good.
Right.
It's not like he's using it
for bad.
Exactly. He's using it to literally help wizarding, like wizard kind.
It is like going against a person's will, though, still.
Yeah, that seems very
That's my question.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, like I again, this sounds bad, but like I don't care so much about it like morally being wrong. What I care about is if it will work or not. You know what I'm saying? Like Dumbledore saying Veritaserum won't do it, is that because there's something with like getting a memory?
He's not speaking it. He doesn't want it verbally from him. He wants the literal memory.
Right.
Which Veritaserum won't do.
Yeah. So that's why I'm wondering if Imperio would work, because you were telling
him, would make him
to extract the memory.
Yeah, I think that that would be a literal last resort type deal if he was going to do that, because you want Slughorn on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he obviously, if he wanted to do that, he would have done that first thing after he asked him about it, you know?
Yeah.
Megan.
I mean, I'm just saying,
let's
like,
just
this is a
forgivable curse
freaking
him. It's fine.
It's a big freaking deal.
Like, it is a big deal. But I think that that would probably be a last resort. But I wouldn't put it past Dumbledore to do that if Harry couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Catherine sits in silence.
I'm trying to coach.
I can see both sides.
No, I am actually surprised that Dumbledore didn't just try this off the bat instead of involving Harry. But then it would have
like
been a
I
shorter
said,
story.
Yeah.
He wants him on his
side. He literally could have used Imperius, made him take the memory out, and then modified his memory so he didn't know that he did it. And watched the memory and put it back.
Correct. See, so here's like the other line is like, does that feel too like Voldy for Dumbledore? But then also like Dumbledore's done some questionable things in the name of the greater good. Mm-hmm. So like, where is his line? I don't know.
I don't think he has one that stays the same.
Yeah.
I think it always moves depending on who he's with or what he needs to be done. You know, he just does kind of what he has to and kind of weighs it out based on what he thinks is okay for him. It's all what Dumbledore thinks and what Dumbledore thinks is best
in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Icky. Still love him, though. Where am I? Okay.
The belligerent.
This is great. So then out of nowhere. Also, why are you spelling this word? Okay. So you're supposed to be writing about Dementors, right? And so out of nowhere, Ron goes, "How do you spell belligerent?" said Ron, shaking his quill very hard, staring at his parchment. "It can't be B-U-M. And I laughed because that's a funny joke. Bum. Okay. And Hermione's like, "What? What quill are you using? This is not normal." And it's one of Fred and George's spell check quills, but the charm must be wearing off. And it's not an essay about dung bombs. His name isn't Runel Waslib, but hello, it could be. And we really genuinely thank you for Harry Potter's fake nickname later on. It's what my friends call
yes.
me.
Yes.
Our Wi-Fi's name is Runal Waslib.
Yep. Oh my gosh, that's great. And ours is Dagobah. Oh, anywho. Man. Hermione says, quote, "It's okay, we can fix it," pulling the essay toward her and taking out her wand. "I love you, Hermione," said Ron, sinking back into his chair, rubbing his eyes wearily.
Oh my gosh, he said he loves her.
Those three little words.
You can't just throw those around, sir.
Hermione turns pink at this, and she tells him not to let Lavender hear him saying that. And he's like, well, maybe I should, because then she would break up with him. And Harry is like, you, sir, need to be the person to break up with her if you're feeling this way. Rightfully so, Mr. Potter.
Right?
Yes, I agree with that. If you are not feeling it, please be honest with somebody else. Yeah, it's not string people along.
It's not for you. It's not fair for the other person.
Yeah.
Oh, Ron. Oh, Ron.
Oh, Runel.
So he says, "You haven't ever chucked anyone, have you? You chucked. And Cho just
chucked. Literally throw."
Oh my gosh. Punted. Harry says, "Sort of fell apart." Yeah. And then Ron says, "I wish that would happen with me and Lavender."
Oh my god.
Just not okay. And Hermione is just silent. She's silent, just fixing Ron's misspellings in his essay. And Ron then says, the more he hints at wanting to finish it, the tighter she holds on. Quote, "It's like going out with the giant squid."
I bet he'd rather go out with the giant squid right now.
I would go on a date with the giant squid.
If you are feeling this way, it's over, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you're young.
Ron doesn't know how to deal with confrontation.
No.
What do you think the giant squid's name is?
Harold.
Harold?
Yes.
Harold and Wan Wan.
I like Harold.
Sitting in the lake.
I would go out for sushi.
With
oh my god, that's rude.
Listen, what?
Nothing.
What a squid that's eat?
Fish. That'd be like splitting nugs with a chicken.
What if you ordered calamari?
Squid
of the calamari, giant squid's like, ooh, what is this?
Be like, it's delicious.
Squid died. Explained.
I do not think it's delicious, though, so.
Nope.
Harry, much to his dismay, had not found anything useful in his potions notes.
See, and squid would like sushi. Pause. We have to talk about this. They eat fish, crustaceans, and other cephalopods.
Okay.
All right. They literally will eat other squids?
Yes. Yeah.
Cannibals.
But they eat squidding pasta.
Vicious.
Krill, plankton, the plankton, algae, plankton? Shrimps, or some people like to say scramps, lanternfish, smaller squid, orange ruffies, crabs, clams.
How does anything eat a crab? Like a live crab? Like how do you eat that?
You just crunch it, I guess.
It's got pinchers.
Oh my god.
I don't know, Megan. Ask the squid.
Ask Harold.
You know, I appreciate the ocean for what it is.
Do you?
Yes, because I realize that it's very important to our ecosystem and our, you know,
way of life.
Correct. Global, yes. Eco
existence.
Yeah. Yes, but okay. I also hate it.
It scares.
It scares me so much. It scares the poop out of me.
The poop.
Okay. Harry hadn't found anything in his potions book, and he looks around, and he realizes they're the only ones left in the common room at this point. And there's a crack, and Hermione shrieks. Ron spills ink all over his newly corrected essay, and Harry says, "Creature! It's time for an update.
Give it to us.
Master said he wanted regular updates on what the Malfoy boy is doing, so Creature has come to give."
Crack. I thought you were doing Creature.
I was.
And then you went Dobby voice. Creature doesn't sound like that.
I got confused. Don't worry. She tried
to recover in the middle and was like,
I'll fix it going forward, okay?
Sure.
Dobby's now arrived.
Okay.
Dobby has been helping too, Harry Potter. And Creature out to tell Dobby when he and Creature ought to tell Dobby when he's coming to see Harry Potter so that they can make their reports together. And Hermione is shocked. But more so about the house elves appearing and less about why they appeared, because I think that at this point she knows that Harry will do anything about Malfoy. Anyway, she asks Harry, "Well, what's this about?" And he hesitates, but then does answer and says, well, they've been following Malfoy for me.
Oh my God.
And then Creature goes, "Day and night." And then Dobby says that he hasn't slept in a week. And Hermione is not pleased at this information. And she like turns to scold at Harry. And he goes, "Of course I didn't tell him not to sleep. Dobby, you can sleep. It's okay." But he also wonders if they've found anything. So he's like, "Okay, but like, come on, tell me. Like, what'd you find?"
Yeah, really.
And Creature goes, "Master Malfoy moves with the nobility that befits his pure blood. His features recall the fine bones of my mistress, and his manners are those of..." Dobby interrupts and goes, "Draco Malfoy is a bad boy! A bad boy! Who? And he shudders." And I love this line. It's like the literal cutest image ever. "Dobby shuddered from the tassel of his tea cozy to the toes of his socks, and then ran at the fire to like literally dive into it. And Harry catches him, and he goes limp and then is like, "Thank you, Harry Potter." Dobby still finds it difficult to speak ill of his old masters.
I like how you go, "Harry Potter."
This is just like so wrong on so many levels. Like the torture that they put this elf through, this is serious installation of self-harming. And I'm just saying, reading this the first time as like a teenager / child, I definitely thought that this was funny. And it is definitely not. I found this article, though. It is a blog called The Silver Lining. And it is called "Guilt, Self-Punishment, and the Dobby Effect." And it is written by a Divya, I believe, is how you say their name. And they talk about mostly Dobby and Chamber of Secrets. But I just want to read this little bit from this article. So it says, "Every time Dobby does not live up to the expectations of his masters, aka at this point, the Malfoys, he injures himself. I will admit here that the first time I read this, I thought Dobby was comical. As a 12-year-old girl, punishment felt like a horrible thing which an adult was allowed to give to a child. Not being able to go out with your friends and play just because you scored poorly in your test because you didn't study felt like the most cruel thing in the world. And I am sure I was not the only 12-year-old who felt that way. So to 12-year-old version of me, Dobby was ridiculous. Who goes to such extreme measures just because they disobeyed some command or order? Well, no one is 12 years old forever. We all grow up. And while our younger selves may have vowed never to treat anyone with such inhumanity as bestowing upon them cruel punishments, the older versions of us realize that punishment is just a mechanism to keep us in order and ensure that we turn out to be fine, upstanding citizens. And many of us, as we grow up, we start overcorrecting ourselves and we start punishing ourselves when we engage in acts that we feel are wrong and therefore feel guilty for the same." I just thought that it was like a good description of like why Dobby still feels this way. Like, it's hard to get out of it, especially because like it wasn't like, it's one thing if it's apparent to a child and it's valid and there's reasons behind it, not harm, but like a punishment of being like, yes, you can't go out with your friends. But like, this is a whole nother level. Like, this is abuse. This is terrible. And this is not a parent-child relationship. This is a master-slave relationship, which is terrible.
Awful.
So just like putting that in your head as he does this, like, it just made me feel like garbage for him. So where was I? Okay, so Dobby then talks to Creature and tells him that he should know that Draco is not a good master to a house elf, because Creature is obviously talking up Draco, and just because he's pure blood and he's related to his mistress and he thinks that he's like, you know, the best ever. So Harry then says, yeah, we don't need to hear about you being in love with Malfoy. Let's fast forward to where he's actually been going. Creature's trying to tell him literally everything except what he wants to know. So he goes, Master Malfoy eats in the Great Hall. He sleeps in a dormitory in the dungeons. He attends his classes in a variety of... And Harry interrupts him and just goes, Dobby, you tell me. Has he been going anywhere he shouldn't have?
Boop, 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 boop. Incoming is a special Dobby report.
Boop, boop, beep, bop, bop, boop, bop, beep.
All right, so Dobby reports Malfoy is breaking no rules as far as Dobby can tell, but he is keen to avoid detection. He's been making regular visits to the seventh floor with a variety of other students who keep watch while he enters. And Harry's like trying to figure this out, and all of a sudden he smacks his forehead with his advanced potion making book and he goes, the room of requirement. So he's like, that's where he's been sneaking off to, and quote, that's what he's doing, whatever he's doing, because Harry still doesn't know, but he's just so enamored with what he could possibly be up to. So Harry figures out Harry figures out that's also why he's been disappearing off of the map. So he thinks more and says, I've actually never seen the Room of Requirement on the map before. And Ron suggests the Marauders might not have known it was there. Who are you kidding? They know every single little nook and cranny of that school, sir. Okay.
They knew.
Watch yourself.
There.
Okay. They knew the magic of that room. Or even putting that on a magic map, maybe the room has a say, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Like, the room itself says, no, I'm unplottable. I can't be put on there.
Right.
I like that.
Or, because Hermione then says she thinks it's more just the magic of the room, and if you need it to be unplottable, it will be. So maybe it only shows up as it is. So, like, say it shows up as a bathroom, then it just says bathroom, or, like, whatever. But if it's unplottable, it's obviously not going to show up as anything on there. So Harry asks Dobby if he managed to get in and have a look at what Malfoy's doing. And Dobby says, no, sir, that's impossible. And Harry at once is like, no, it's not impossible, because Malfoy got into the DA headquarters last year. So I should be able to get in there and spy on him, no problem. And Hermione's like, hold on a second. I don't think so. Malfoy already knew how to get into that room because
here it is.
Quote, that stupid Marietta had blabbed.
It's all her fault.
Oh my God. Okay.
And Malfoy needed the room to become the DA headquarters, so it did. But Harry doesn't know what the room turns into for Malfoy, so he doesn't know what to ask the room to transform into. Therefore, he should not be able to get in. And Harry's like really dismissive, and he's like, there's going to be a way around that, like, it's whatever. Like, he's so confident about the fact that he's going to be able to get in. And he tells Dobby he did a brilliant job. And Hermione is very kind and goes, Creature did a good job too. Which only earns her the mudblood is speaking to Creature. Creature will pretend he cannot hear. Dude, you need to, you're talking out loud. You know, talking out loud. We can all hear you. So Harry sends them both off. He tells Dobby to sleep. Please sleep. And Harry is like stoked. He's like, how good's this? We know where Malfoy's going. We've got him cornered now. And Ron's like, yeah, sure, whatever, because his homework is covered in ink, because when the elves appeared, he like spilled it all over himself after already spelling his name wrong and every other word wrong. Dude's not having a good night. But Hermione helps him again. Do you think that's because he said, I love you?
Probs.
Probably.
So Hermione comments on how Dobby said there was a variety of students. And she's like, how many people are in on this? You would think that Malfoy wouldn't want to trust a lot of people to know what he's up to. Is she coming around to the idea that he is up to something? Maybe.
Maybe.
And Harry all of a sudden is like, oh my God, I'm so stupid. I just figured it out. He stole Polyjuice Potion from that first potions class when Slughorn had a bunch on all the tables. So it's not a whole variety of students. It's just Crabbe and Goyle. I think he even says, like, it's just Crabbe and Goyle as usual, because these two just follow along with Malfoy. So Harry jumps up, starts pacing. This part might be a little questionable, but...
Okay.
So he says they're stupid enough to do what they're told, even if he won't tell them what he's up to. But he doesn't want them to be seen lurking outside the Room of Requirement. So he's got them taking Polyjuice to make them look like other people. Those two girls I saw when he missed Quidditch. Ha! Crabbe and Goyle. So Hermione's like, wait, you mean that little girl that I helped who, like, dropped those scales and I repaired them? And Harry's like, yeah. And there was also another girl who dropped Toad Spawn. And Ron says it's no wonder that neither of them look happy these days if Malfoy is transforming them into girls. I just wonder if there's any underlying stuff here. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know.
I'm sure that there is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that maybe... Let me look at the sunny side of things. Maybe that Malfoy chose, aka the author chose, to have Crabbe and Goyle transform into the most opposite. Maybe.
Right, so like a small opposite sex.
Yeah, that was my thought. Like, it's so far from, like... But that's interesting, though, to have him hanging out with, like, randos.
I agree, that's why it was done. I think that what I'm not okay with is Ron's comment.
Oh, what did he say?
Just like him saying, it's no wonder they don't look happy, or they don't look happy these days if Malfoy's transforming them into girls.
Oh, yeah.
That line is what makes me feel icky. But I do agree that who knows what her actual intentions were with that line or whatever she's trying to insinuate here.
Yeah.
But I could agree that, like, the point of them becoming young, unassuming girls is that it is, yeah, as opposite as it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also know that Ron says questionable things at times as well. Like, that is his character.
Right.
And I think he's meant to say stuff like that, especially, like, if I think about the house elf stuff and how, you know, he talked about them in 5 versus wanting to get them out of Hogwarts during the last battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, his whole view changed that way. So maybe the author has him saying things like this to double down on his arc and the change in his character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my hope.
I'm open to all thoughts. Obs. So Ron says, I'm surprised they don't tell him to stuff it. And then Harry says, well, they wouldn't, would they, if he's shown them his dark mark? And Hermione is still skeptical about this and says, the dark mark we don't know even exists. And Harry just says, we'll see. And Hermione's like, yes, we will.
And we do.
And we do. And she's incorrect.
And she's wrong.
Yeah. So she tells Harry, before you get all excited, I don't think you're going to be able to get into the Room of Requirement without knowing what's there first. Quote, and I don't think you should forget, she gave him a very serious look, that what you're supposed to be concentrating on is getting that memory from Slughorn.
If only Harry knew how fast time was ticking.
Right.
Like. Yeah.
Right. And that's the end of this part one
of three.
Of three.
Yes. I don't think I said that earlier in the episode. This is one of three. And congratulations. You all get to hear a little Jamesy boy. You hear the little baby coughs. Hello, buddy. He keeps staring at my mic and playing with my headphone cord.
That's what Alana would do.
That is what Alana used to do.
Now she's watching Encanto.
Oh my god. I actually just put that on, like, some of the songs from the soundtrack on whenever we were driving home from, I think, the Mickey's Not So Scary. Listened to Surface Pressure and Bruno. Okay. The lightning bolt round.
Oh, you like that sound, team.
Yeah, Kim Mr. asks, what do you think Snape's idea of the best way to tackle Dementors is? I think whatever the opposite of Remus Lupin's idea was.
Yeah, I wouldn't know, because isn't there just like one way?
I know. It's like, well, what else
isn't
do you
it a Patronus?
Yeah.
But what do you, like, say you cannot produce.
You die, Catherine. Corporal. No, you don't die, but, you know. Your soul gets sucked.
Your soul. Corporeal. I always say that word. I know that drives some people nuts. They cannot say that word right. But you know what? I am corporeal. Who I am.
I think you're right. I don't know. Do I don't know. I thought, like, that there was only one way.
Yo, Dementor. Can we have like a little sit down chat? How you feeling?
You all right? What you doing? Where you at? Oh, you got plans. Don't say that. Shut your trap. I'm sipping wine. That's your song, huh?
Chelsea asks, what word do you all wish you had a spell check quill for?
Oh, crud. What is it? There's a word that I can never spell right. Shoot. Definitely.
McGonagall.
For some reason, I can't spell definitely right. Like, ever.
I can quite literally never spell McGonagall correctly, which is why I now will only type McG. Oh.
I'm like, is it two L's?
Mm-hmm. I'm like, is it two L's, two N's, two, like, what is it?
I know.
Katie, what about you?
Mine isn't that I don't know how to spell it. It's just that I always type it incorrectly. Like, my fingers have not ever learned. It's the word just, J-U-S-T. It always types it. My hands always type it J-S-U-T. And, like, it never autocorrects, so it just always looks stupid every single time.
Ah, Jenny Fire. Any word that ends in Sieve.
Right. Yes.
Receive is hard.
My phone Vacuum. Likes to say the word duck a lot.
Uh-huh. Shut your mouth. Inappropriate. Vacuum. Is it two C's or two U's?
Two U's. And I will never forget that, because that word knocked me out of a spelling bee in grade school, and I was so mad.
The worst. She didn't make the spelling bee, James.
I know, I was a failure.
Funny. He's smiling at it, though. Sorry.
Broccoli. One. I always Kendra. Have to remember C's.
Oh, broccoli.
Yeah.
Kendra asks, what would be your name if the spell check quill's charm was running out when you wrote it?
Teef.
Teef.
Teef Omuly. Omuly. O-M-U-L-L-Y. Oh, H. Put an H in there. Yeah, that's good.
M-U-H-L-E.
Omuly. Teef Omuly.
Megub.
Megub?
Because the B is right by the N. I actually did that one time. I fat fingered whenever I was typing Katie's name on a freaking flight ticket.
I remember that.
Oh my god, I had a panic attack, but
you had
thankfully
to call
they
the
fixed
airline.
It. Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
That was scary.
Jeez Louise.
I don't know what our last name would be.
Petri dish.
Megub Petri dish.
I don't know what my
Katie,
first
what
name
are you?
Would be.
Who are you no. rather?
What if it just changed it to cat?
Meow.
I was going to say kitty.
Cat.
That's too nice. She True. Loves meow, that. Meow, give her some cream.
Meow, meow, meow.
What else do we got?
Kara, I wonder if you can avoid the effects of Veritaserum if you have convinced yourself that the truth is the modified form of the memory, whether out of delusion, sheer will, or guilt.
Bro, discuss. That is deep, and I am here for it.
Yeah.
Holy I agree. Cow. I think
yeah,
that because
it's
true.
What your brain, it's what your brain thinks, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
has, Veritaserum is not going to just change what you actually believe. You are going to just speak your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like, your truth. That's very good.
I feel like we all know someone, and maybe it's just my experience. We all know someone who believes their own lies. And mm-hmm. if that's true to them, that's what they're gonna spew out.
Yeah.
Dude, Phil is struggle busing tonight.
He's a teenager.
Kara.
Nope rope. If you were one of Malfoy's lookouts, who would you transform into?
If I'm Filch. Okay, so I have to be one of Malfoy. Oh yeah.
Nobody
that's good.
Would question it.
Crookshanks.
Oh, but you would again turn into Hermione.
I'm okay with that.
But I'll you
have
to so
you can't
have
come back
attention.
To yourself by
That's
yourself.
Fine. I'll be half cat.
Oh my god. You would thrive that way.
I would.
Hey, be nice to me. I don't know, James, who would you be? Pansy Parkinson. Cuz she probably wouldn't ask questions. He would just True. Be like, mind your business. And she'd be like, yep. All right.
All right. That's it.
All righty. Who wants a fan story?
Me.
Please.
No, I'm fighting a god.
Ooh.
Okay. This fan story comes from Sophie from January of 2021. Hi, gals. This is my Potter story. I'm a Slytherin through and through. My wand is maplewood with a phoenix feather core, 13 inches, and slightly springy flexibility. My Patronus is a Manx cat. I'm jealous. When I was in my first year of secondary school, year 7 in England, so about 11 or 12. Grade 11 or 12, I believe, right?
No, age.
Oh, age 11 age. Or 12. Sorry. Yeah. Thanks, friends. We read Philosopher's Stone in English. I had heard of Harry Potter before we started reading the book, as the film was coming out the same year, or had, I can't remember as it was so long ago. Oh man, writing this out has made me feel so old all of a sudden. Anywho, I digress. I hadn't been bothered about reading the books before, as being dyslexic, reading can be a chore and not pleasure. But as soon as we started reading the books, I didn't want to stop. Only our set in English was reading the book, set 4 of 5, as it was deemed an easier read than other books. I was disappointed when the film came out that so much was left out. Reach, mm-hmm. But realize now that this is what, quote, they do. I didn't read the other books as I find it so hard, but I would listen to them on audiobook, and I still do to this day, being more and more immersed each time. We went to see the films in the cinema when they came out. My stepmom took my little brother and I to see the Chamber of Secrets and fell asleep. She woke up just as we were introduced to the basilisk. Woo! Knowing that we were going to jump at him jumping out. We still talk about that to this day. She's also told us that that she still doesn't like Potter. She's too pragmatic. In 2009, I moved from Stratford upon Avon to Glasgow, where I had a really tough time with abusive boyfriends and being homeless at points. It was a really worrying time for me and my family. I would listen to Harry Potter, and it was a comfort. I never cried watching a film growing up, and my mom and brother would call me Hard Heart Hannah. They cried watching Free Willy. He could swim under the ring of fire, and it wasn't real.
Free Willy.
Free Willy.
But Harry Potter changed that. When Sirius died, I cried like a baby. When listening to Jim Dale read it, and when I saw it happen on screen, I ended up going to see Deathly Hallows Part 2 on my own, as I knew I was going to cry like a baby. As soon as the Warner Brothers sign came up, I started crying and barely stopped.
I feel that on a personal level.
Dude, yes.
That Warner Brothers symbol gets me every time.
Yeah. Snape's death hit me hard, and I cried when that happened more than anything. I know there's controversy when it comes to him, but I love his character arc, and still to this day, I'm unsure how much anyone should have trusted him. I heard a baby. I sometimes think he wasn't on anyone's side, but more on his own side, trying to survive. When Alan Rickman died, I was 6 months pregnant with my eldest. My junior in the salon told me he died, and I was a hormonal mess, crying in the salon, going home early. I decided I know what's best. I'll watch Deathly Hallows Part 2 and fell asleep. I woke up just as the music was playing, while Harry, Ron, and Hermione were running over the courtyard to get to the boat shed. I blubbed so much that I was almost inconsolable that music still gets me now. Truly, though. My mom took me to the studios in London before I was pregnant. She had been bitten by a horsefly or stung by a hornet a few weeks before and wasn't over it yet. Her leg had swollen up loads and I had to push her in a wheelchair. It did, however, get us past a few lines. She said she had never seen me in my element as much as she did that day. My partner and I are planning to take our two boys when they are bigger. My eldest is almost 5 and will watch the films with me. I caught him singing along to the theme tune. When he was born, I called him Voldemort so much that most of my friends would also call him Voldy.
Why? Because he was bald?
That's hilarious. My youngest is almost 7 months and I've started him watching the films. The salon I used to work in was next to the first Wizarding World shop in Glasgow, the Root of Magic. They made the shop look like the Forbidden Forest. My then boss and myself were the first people to get to go in and have a look prior to it opening, as they knew we were big Potter fans, also for banging on our walls for 6 months. I remember my boss turning to me and saying, "I'm trying not to cry, it's so amazing," and I was already crying. Fast forward on, when I broke up with my son's father and moved into my own place, I didn't have any internet or TV. One of my friends recommended your podcast. While I was at work, I would use their internet to download the podcast to listen to, and it's like having pals to chat with. I have to remember you can't hear me when I'm talking back to you. I'm slowly but surely catching up. I have just started Order of the Phoenix with yourselves. My now partner came with me to see Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald with me on our 4th date. We had been to a comedy club the night before, getting home at 1 a.m., work at 9 a.m. the next day. I ended up falling asleep on his shoulder. He doesn't let me forget it. The Wizarding World has so many good memories for me. Harry Potter will always be so special to me and has helped me through so much in my life. Thank you, gals, for doing your podcast and making me more of a Wizarding World geek. We're going to make sure that our children are just as much immersed in the Wizarding World that they think they're going to Hogwarts when they're 11 and have the letter sent to them. Hoping you are well. Yours truly, Sophie, age 31 and 3/4.
I love that.
Sophie, thank you so much for your story.
That was a great story.
It was.
Thank you so much. I love everything. I love everything.
I really want to go back to
I'm really connected with you on that WB symbol. Like, yeah. That stands out to me. I'm like, yes, other people do it too.
Literally, me and Meg have a picture of us at the end of that movie and like our eyes are like almost swollen shut. And they're so red from us just like sobbing the whole time. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It was a happy, sad day.
Yeah. So, Sophie, thank you for sharing your story. Here's a joke.
Yes.
Why can't students write with a broken quill?
I don't know, Katie. Why?
Because it's pointless.
Oh, my gosh.
That's good.
Nice. Nice.
Okay. All right. If you'd like to, you can follow the three of us on social media. Myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at The Peaches Family. And Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at TiffSwish_Flick.
Yeesh.
Tiff, what you up to?
Currently, I'm holding a very cute boy who keeps batting at my microphone because it's hanging above him. I don't know. I just have been doing my ab rehab, been going on lots of walks. It's finally the first day of fall. Happy fall. And today felt like it here in Ohio. It was a great morning. It was cool and breezy. And then came the rain. So I was like, oh, your typical Ohio fall. I don't know. I'm not really doing much. I'd keep bouncing around books, so I'm still like reading little bits of Wings and Ruin and Salem's Lot, finishing out listening to Deathly Hallows. I used an Audible credit, so I technically bought a Christina Lauren book, right?
Yeah, you did.
Which one did I get? I can't remember what I did.
The Soulmate Equation, I think.
Yes, I did. I got the Soulmate Equation. So when I'm done with Deathly Hallows, I'll start that. And if I like it, I have 2 more credits that I haven't used. You can tell that I haven't been consuming as much content. lately because I'm not going to work. So right. like I'm not driving or having like planning periods, which is that's when I like throw an AirPod in and just like listen to my books. But I'll get back to it. I go back mid to end October and we'll get back to it. Sir. But yeah, that's me.
I'm trying to remember if I said that I finished the book by the book.
I think you did.
From last time that we recorded. I also started, and by started I mean I read the character list in the prologue for Shady Hollow, which is like this little woodland creature mystery novel. And I'm also still in the middle of The Paris Apartment. I started listening to that again because I listen on my drive to and from work. And I am enjoying that as well. I think that whenever I finish that, I might start Mist and Fury.
It's a good one.
Yeah. I have only read Mist and Fury once. Can you believe that?
No, I mean, same.
So I really, really, really want to reread that again. So,
yeah.
But other than that, Jess, I know. Yes, I've literally only read it once.
I've only read it once, the whole series once.
And
yeah, I feel like
I also
everybody but Sarah shoot. Did, right? Sarah's the only one yeah. that reread them
about 18,000 times.
I need to read Kingdom of Ash.
Yes, you do. You need to freaking finish.
Be sad. I don't wanna.
Well, rip it off, Band-Aid.
That's all I got.
Okay. Katie, go. We're on James time right now.
Let's see. I am reading. Well, I'm listening to Love in Other Words when I run. And I had mentioned that I'm afraid to start two books at once, but then I started reading a physical book as well. So I'm listening to that and I'm reading Anxious People. And it's really different and really good. I'm probably like maybe almost halfway through that one. But both of them so far are really good. I have not gotten characters confused. That's what I was worried about. I was worried about mixing up stories. So I think I'm like, okay.
I feel like if the stories are different enough, you don't have to worry about that. Love in Other Words yeah. is so good.
So far, it's really, really good. And I truly don't know how to run without listening to a book anymore. I don't know. So
are good. Are you gonna listen books. To a book on your half marathon that you're running in 2 days?
Probs. I'm a little nervous about it.
You're gonna do great.
I'm nervous. You know why else I'm nervous? Because it's not a Disney race.
It'll be fun. It'll still be fun.
I know
it's
it
not
will.
Gonna be as good.
But no, like, it's not gonna be as good. But
there's
it'll
not
be
gonna
fun.
Be like Disney music at a corner and then like, oh look, yourself. There's Mickey. Oh look. There's Goofy. Oh, look, there's a character that you don't ever see unless it's a race, you know, that like pushes yeah. you through.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay, though. Yeah, maybe boring. I will pump up some Disney music for myself. I'll put a little yeah. playlist together.
You should. Why not?
But
that's
yeah,
what you're
that's
training
happening.
For.
Yep. Yep. That's happening. I will be updating via Instagram and Swish and Fit. I haven't given a shout out to that in a while.
Yeah.
Katie posts in there all the time.
Yeah, I post in there all the time. It's fun. Just, you know, people doing movement things, you know, like it doesn't have to be anything crazy. It's not, you know, we don't deal with all that diet culture stuff. It's just like feel good
movement
life. Yeah, I don't know. So check it out if you want to. But other than that, I don't know. I think that's about it. Trying to have patience with my puppy.
He's doing better.
He is. No, and we got a lot of really good tips. We got a lot of really good tips from our trainer yesterday that I'm excited about. And it's like, because I just want to do well, but sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. So like
he's just having really bad food aggression. So we're trying to work with that because I don't want, he's doing it like with the cats and like, I don't want him to hurt. I mean, it's not that bad. But
he guards.
I don't want it to get to that. So we're trying to.
No, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You're doing the right thing.
It's like they'll just walk through the living room and he'll like growl and run to his dish. It's like, sir, they are nowhere near your food. And
I don't even care.
They literally don't care about your bowl.
We had a really good training session yesterday. We're trying to teach him to jump through our arms as a hoop.
Yeah, we're doing like fun little tricks too. He's cute. Doing good with the fun little tricks. He hates doing rollover though.
But it's so cute.
I asked him to do rollover the other day and he literally yelled at me.
Good. For like a solid 2 minutes.
Like, tell her. He just like kept staring at me and barking like, absolutely not. I'm not going to do rollover.
Well, then, sir, you're not getting the TREAT.
Look at this mini podcaster.
Hi, Jay.
What up, little dude? Look at you.
I'll get to see.
You can't even hear me. But.
This James this weekend, and I'll get to see a different James next weekend.
So many James.
All right. I don't think that anybody got bingo this session.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh.
But.
Oh. Cough it out, man.
The Who house won? Standings are Ravenclaw with 1,050.
Oh.
Hufflepuff with 680, Slytherin with 585, and Gryffindor with 400.
Gryffindor, what I need you guys to show up to the chat.
Doing.
I tried my best. I don't know how it works, but I try my best. Caw, whatever. Go birds.
Claws are killing it.
Yes.
Slytherins. All right. We need to unite here.
Good job, Ravenclaw. Showing up for the sauce. Showing up for the sauce monster.
I can't watch the gift of her falling.
It's so good.
Oh my god.
That is a core memory. As soon as it happened. It was a core memory. And it was live. And it was great.
Oh my god.
Well, I've got a squirm worm here. James.
If you could talk, what would you say this was for?
For squids and squirms.
For squids and squirms?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our squirmy little
say
squid.
Anything?
You squirmy squid.
You gonna say anything?
Or you're just gonna growl. I understand.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not what we wanted you to say. You gotta say happy things, not wah wahs.
Sploots and squids.
For a squid meal. For Squidward. All right. For
Squidward and clarinets.
Oh my god.
Mediocre clarinet player.
Mediocre.
All right, guys, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much. Oh, okay. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing, just my voice,
Mr. James. You stink of paper. Bounce like a jean. Bounce like a jean, James. Bounce like a jean. Bounce like a jean. That made you laugh yesterday. Boom, like a jeansy bounce, bounce, like a jeansy bounce.
He's smiling. He just got like 50 fingers in his mouth. That's what he likes to do.
I know how to count.
Yeah.
Jess, oh my god.
Okay. Ready, Eddie, for anybody?
I'm ready.
Okay. Kate?
Bye, Swishers.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.